Hello, I'm Bob Shingleton, and welcome to a very special edition of Chance Music. Previous programmes have taken me to a medieval church in Norwich to talk to Yuri Savall, to the south coast of England to interview Jonathan Harvey. But today is the first time Chance Music has gone overseas, and as you will hear from the background sounds, this programme is being recorded in a 15th century apartment in the beautiful city of Avignon in the south of France. Avignon is famous as the home of the popes in medieval times, and since then has been celebrated by countless schoolchildren in the song Sur le Pont d'Avignon. But this beautiful walled city is also the home of composer and new technology guru Jeff Harrington, and I have travelled here to talk to Jeff about his colourful career and also to hear some of his music. Jeff is big on new technology, so it's quite appropriate that he and I first met when we clashed online in 2005 about the role of the internet in music distribution. He responded to an article I had written with the following words, and they're a pretty good summary of his philosophy. "The internet, in my opinion, represents probably the greatest positive change in how independent artists communicate with audiences." Jeff was born in the south of the United States in Forest, Mississippi. He taught himself blues and boogie-woogie piano in high school and built a synthesizer for fun. He began composing when he was 17, and his early musical influences include blues and New Orleans funk. He went on to attend the prestigious Juilliard School in New York. The influences on his mature output range from jazz and African-American music to the classical gods of Haydn, Mozart and Beethoven. He writes in a tonal idiom for both acoustic and electronic instruments, and his compositions have been performed around the world, from Siberia to St. Louis. If Jeff had confined himself to composing, it would be a pretty impressive career, but he is a true 21st century man, and his other activities include website creation, computer programming and games design, and he's also a computer graphics artist. Jeff Harrington, welcome to Chance Music.
Thanks, Bob. It's really great to be here.
Jeff, let's start by talking about your early years. While you were studying in New York, you worked at Liberty Music on Madison Avenue, and there you met Frank Sinatra. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, one of the few opportunities that a composer has, or anybody that has that is educated in classical music, is a job in the retail sector, either in a classical music record store, or maybe in a music library. The opportunities in New York, I had to pay the rent when I dropped out. I was forced to drop out of Juilliard when I ran out of money, and so I took a job at Sam Goody's, where I met Morton Feldman too. That was a very interesting experience. And then I later on, after about 3 months at Sam Goody's on 46th Street, I found an opportunity at Liberty Music, which was the first record store in the world. And they had slowly phased out their record collection, but they're interested in bringing back a strong classical selection just so they could sell high-end audio. Anyways, one day Frank Sinatra came in with his two bodyguards, looking very mafioso, and they were both huge gentlemen, obviously packing some serious God knows what. And he was looking for a high-end stereo for Nancy's son, and he laid out $3,000 cash, and we delivered it to his house and set it up for him. It was very interesting, and the salespeople were very florid in their approach to him. It was fascinating.
Thank you. That was Jeff Harrington's Piano Prelude No. 3 in 19 Equal Temperament, and it was performed by Aaron Calais. Jeff is my guest here on today's Chance Music, and we were just talking about his time in New York at the Juilliard School. Jeff, when you were at the Juilliard, your teachers included Elliot Carter and Roger Sessions. What are your memories of those great names?
Elliot Carter had just turned 70, and we had a kind of difficult time bonding at first until I started writing a song cycle of Elizabeth Bishop poems. And just coincidentally, I had picked the exact same poems that he had picked for his Elizabeth Bishop song cycle. And we instantly started beginning each lesson with a short talk about what modern American poetry we had just read. I was very interested in Wallace Stevens and John Ashbery, and he had just finished Setting Syringa, the John Ashbery song cycle. So we would begin each lesson with talks about philosophy or poetry, and then go on to the piece that I was working on at the time. And it was a fascinating experience. One memory I had about studying with Mr. Carter was that I was always a little disturbed by how hard-edged atonal music seemed to be connected with a kind of existential kind of angst. And I, being from New Orleans, I was kind of a easygoing kind of fellow, and you know, laissez les bon temps rouler kind of thing. And I asked him, you know, what if you don't feel existential angst? What if you want to write music that expresses joy or some other emotion? And he goes, Jeff, if you do that, you'll never have a music career.
To Amor Loco, an improvisation for quarter tone piano and electronics by Jeff Harrington. Jeff, 20 years ago you retracted almost all of the music you'd written. Why was that?
When I we ended up in New Orleans after leaving New York in one very cold winter. And I was living in New Orleans, and I had started composing music again after I was a little bit bitter after I dropped out of Juilliard. I even was a visual artist for a little while. And when I finally got back to composing, something horrible happened. My brother committed suicide. And I decided then that I wanted to do something that I'd flirted with just conceptually my whole life, which was trying to write tonal music. And I knew it was going to be painful and very difficult, and it was going to be awkward. But I began, and I started off kind of stronger than I ended up. But I wrote 6 symphonies, 5 string quartets, started an opera, and I ended up throwing them all away about 20 years ago, just because after looking back at them, I saw that they were a kind of primitive kind of juvenilia, and that throughout the pieces, I kept two of the pieces. Throughout the pieces had a weakness, which was that I hadn't been raised in an environment where this kind of melodism was strong, that the types of melodies that I was accustomed to were the rock and roll and the blues melodies, and that was my strength.
Thank you. That was Blue Strider for Piano by Jeff Harrington, performed by Paul Hoffman. And I'm Bob Shingleton, and you're listening to Chance Music on Future Radio, 107.8 FM in Norwich, England, and streaming worldwide on the internet. Today's programme is coming from the home of composer and new technology guru Jeff Harrington in the historic city of Avignon in France. Jeff, I want to return to your mature music a little later, but first, let's move from composing to your adventures in new technology. You were in at the start of computer games, and you created the first online games for Sesame Street, I think. Music for computer games is big business today, but how did you view those early Sesame Street creations? Were they just standalone breadwinners, or did they somehow link to your composing?
I've always looked at computer programming as a possible component for the creation of a new kind of venue for the promotion and distribution of my music. The opportunities that the internet provides composers now is so vast, but a lot of times you have to create a kind of experience that is a multimedia experience and not just click and listen to. So whenever I wrote these games, I always looked at it as being something I might be able to use later on down the road for creating that type of multimedia experience.
Just listening to Erg for mandolin and guitar, played by Dürer, Alhart and Schwab, and it was written by Jeff Harrington, who's my guest here today on Chance Music. Jeff, coming back to your more serious music after talking about Sesame Street, in the early 1990s you wrote a computer program which created counterpoint from melodies. That's a pretty arcane thing to create. Can you explain in simple terms how it works and what its use is?
When I was working in the record store in New Orleans, I was writing a string quartet for my master's degree, And I was sitting there performing these calculations, like just like Bach had done, trying to write canons. And it occurred to me that this was basically a mathematical problem. And I started thinking about how you would write a program that would solve these problems for you, because basically it's a search algorithm. So when I finally got around to writing the program, I created a system which would take between 3 and 6 tracks of music, and basically one by one, first look for duos, and by transposing and also delaying the second line of music, once it found duos, save those transpositions and those time displacements, and go on and look for trios and do the same kind of time displacement and transposition then. I eventually wrote it so it could do up to 6 tracks of music, and I used it in a fair number of pieces.
For solo violin performed by Piotr Shevchik, and the composer was Jeff Harrington, who's here with me on Chance Music today. Jeff, in my introduction, I explained how back in 2005 you were a passionate advocate of the internet as a music distribution platform. In the 5 years that have passed since then, do you think you've improved, right?
I think I have. I think that the problems that we had back then in 2005 are still with us, though, and problems of curation. How do we separate the wheat from the chaff? And also, how do we make sure that when we stumble upon a piece of music that we like, that's easy to share it with other people, there, what's occurred in the last 5 years is this explosion of different types of sites that allow for playlist creation and playlist promotion, in addition to MP3 promotion. But now we're faced with further kind of complexifying of how the curation itself is getting lost, at the same time as the MP3 blogs are disappearing because of threats from industry.
For cello and piano, performed by the Cross Ireland Ensemble, composed by Jeff Harrington. Jeff, let's talk about the distribution model for your own music. On your website, there are lots of MP3 downloads. Looking at the scores, some are available free as Adobe Acrobat files, others have to be bought. How does that work?
Well, the scores that have to be bought typically are by performing groups that have their own publishing companies, and they've asked for permission to sell the scores. They often sell the scores at concerts or at conventions. I also sell my scores online, so if you want to buy it, you can. If you want to buy a printed copy, you can buy it, or you can download it for free and print it out yourself. So that convenience allows me to sell a few scores.
Thank you. Tourbillon by Jeff Harrington for six harps, contrabass and percussion. And Jeff, staying with the internet, you recently stirred up some controversy by saying that classical music lacked bass. Can you explain what you meant?
Well, growing up in New Orleans and experiencing rock music and blues music, I was accustomed to having music be a visceral experience, you know, something you would feel in your body to it, or it stirred you to dance or what have you. And when I first started getting interested in classical music, and I wasn't really interested in classical music until I was in my early 20s that it finally started resonating with me, I felt it very odd that such powerful music would be performed, but it wouldn't be performed in a manner that could stir the audience to that same kind of visceral experience. And it's been kind of a meme of mine, which is that the problem with classical music is that it just isn't enough bass, there isn't enough visceral quality to it.
That was Kaleidopsychotropos, performed by New Music Works, Santa Cruz, California, in March 2007. The composer was Jeff Harrington. And Jeff, before moving on to your recent music, I want to ask you about Avignon. We're recording this chance music program in Provence rather than on Sanibel Island in Florida, where you lived before. Why?
We left Sanibel after a couple of factors. One of the factors was that it was a very high-end retirement community. Although it was extremely beautiful, very, very preserved, and almost miraculous in the number of birds and wildlife it has, when the oil spill hit, we decided that enough was enough. I'm a little concerned about how America is being controlled by the corporations, and I just had this gut feeling that no matter how bad the oil spill was or wasn't, that it was going to be a gateway for more drilling and eventually lead to the destruction of the island. And we'd always flirted with the idea of moving to France. We've been trying to do it since Reagan got elected, in fact. And so we decided just to go ahead and risk the money and just come here and hopefully save and recoup the money by not having to pay health insurance because my wife's a French citizen.
That was Adagio Tenebroso, performed in 2006 in Paris at the Cave. The composer was Jeff Harrington. Jeff is here with me today on Chance Music. And Jeff, you write for acoustic and electronic instruments. Your works include string quartets and piano preludes. Isn't that a little surprising for a new technology guy?
Well, I find that the electronic music has a real problem to it because there's no... At this point, there's no good way to get across the kind of energy and vitality that the performer brings to acoustic music. The composer, of course, can perform electronic music, but one of the cool things about electronic music is that you can have arbitrary speeds, arbitrary volumes, and stuff. And performing things that are that complex takes as much time as the composition itself. So a lot of times composers cut corners and have the electronic parts be realized by a computer. The thing about acoustic music too is that it's going to be much easier to preserve. Although digital music seems to be to have an infinite lifespan, the reality of it is that electronic music, because we still haven't solved problems of digital archiving, it is a problem that's yet to be solved, and it's more likely to disappear than a printout of a score.
We'll be right back. that last track, Jeff Harrington was talking about acoustic music, and on that track we heard his Acid Bark 3 for quarter tone synthesizer. Jeff, let's turn now to your electronic music. We've just heard an excerpt from your intriguingly titled Acid Bark. Can you tell us more about it?
Acid Bark was a series of preludes in quarter tone temperament, and I had used a customized counterpoint program to come up with these canons, or they had canonical sections. And I wanted to have a clever title for it, because the pieces, as you can see, have a very stirring kind of quality to it. And so I came up with a kind of a joke title, but at the same time, a lot of times joke titles resonate to a certain degree and help people to remember the piece, and I wanted to have a good title for this piece. It's kind of a joke, but I grew up with acid rock, and so acid box seemed to be an obvious kind of pun.